Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, the villain is here. It's the Callers Cookout here on the Sports City Chefs Network. A little after 9 o'clock, we're with you here on this glorious Wednesday, December the 29th, one of the last days of 2021. Got to wrap up the year, some good, some bad, but, you know, we're here, we're alive, we're breathing. Calling number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 58 minutes, talking all things sports. The Cookout, villain versus timeless, where good always wins. You know, every good hero needs a villain, and every good villain needs a hero. I'm sure the hero will be around soon. I haven't locked him away in my secret lair, but, you know, I'm sure he'll be around. Big shout-out to the big homie. But I do have another one of my arch nemesis. He's not really a hero. I don't know what you would call him. He's not a hero. He's definitely not a villain. He wants to be a villain. You know, he acts like it. But I need to save my boy Malik from his father. Uncle Villain is here for you. But I got Sirius in the building from the 703. Mr. Sirius, what's going on, bro?
What's going on, man? It's such a pleasure to be here with you guys on the Callers Cookout, man. Look, we got a lot to talk about, a lot to go over. I'm not going to lie, I'm still not okay from what took place in the stadium on Sunday, but I'm going to press on, man. What's going on, my guy? How are we doing today?
I mean, listen, none of us should be happy after that. I think we did a good job of getting out our feelings, expressing ourselves like men. It was a tough week for us, but, you know, listen, I'm happy you're here. I'm glad, you know, we got through it Monday. We you know, it's like lean on me. You know what I mean? When you're not strong.
I'm not your friend.
I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. you know. But no, man, we're wrapping up 2021. It's been a good year for us. You know, doing a lot of big things here at Sports City. Got some big things coming up for 2022. Me and TP are working on. So onward and upward. But you know, I want to start with the show. I mean, you know, you messaged us yesterday with the news of the unfortunate passing and sudden passing of John Madden. A lot of kids, you know, younger than us know him for the video games, but if you're like myself or Sirius, you grew up with this guy as the voice of NFL. Before you had all these names that do the games now, you know, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, there was Pat Summerall and John Madden calling San Francisco Giants games, you know, boom, and with the teleprompter and everything. But before that, people of our parents' generation knows him as one of the great NFL coaches of all time, coached for about 10 years, never had a losing season, you know, had a 103-32-7 record. Won three in the regular season series. He won for every four games he coached, he won three of them. He had a 7.759 winning percentage, which was the best among coaches over 100 games coached. Doesn't get enough credit as the coach that he was, you know, always coming up short to your Steelers until he broke through with the Raiders and got that championship, that elusive championship. One of the great coaches of all time as well, died at the age of 85. So, Sirius, I'd love to get your thoughts on the great John Madden.
You know, my guy, it's something that, you know, caught the sports world by storm. You know, when you start looking at coaching, there's so many greats that have graced the sideline. A lot of them play tribute to the late, great John Madden. We're talking about Bill Parcells. We're talking about Tony Dungy. We're talking about Bill Belichick and Cowher and, you know, the guys who patrolled the sidelines when we were coming up. We could spin it ahead to the guys patrolling it now, Mike Tomlin. And, you know, those type of guys who are cut from that Madden tree, that Madden cloth. And then when he, you know, went to broadcasting, there was none that did it better than him. I mean, Tony Romo right now was the highest paid broadcaster in the game. Sure. And I'm sure if you sat him down, he got his swag and the way he breaks down film and everything and the way he breaks down a play from John Madden. The teleprompter was a John Madden thing. And then he extended it past the teleprompter, and, you know, when it came to business and, you know, and selling yourself and making your name and your money, you know, work for you, again, he was on every TV doing commercials from beer to socks to underwear to you know, foot cream. It didn't matter. And you look at these guys now, you know, like a LeBron James and a Shaq who are in, you know, commercials, you know, John Cena is in every damn commercial I look at now, you know, The Rock, you know, doing movies and things of that nature. He paved the way for sports and sports entertainment to, you know, extend past the gridiron or the hardwood or whatever you did. He made it fashionable. He made it athletes and actors wanted to pursue because of the lucrative type of deals that he was able to achieve. So a lot of people tip their cap to John Madden, you know, and then, you know, when it comes to, you know, to entertainment and the football game, you know, I mean, I don't know of a dude alive who hasn't sat down and played Madden. You know, there's Madden tournaments all over the world, internationally from coast to coast. There's Madden tournaments in every crevice of the USA. And again, it's a testament to John freaking Madden. So as much as I hated him as a Raiders coach, I respected the hell out of him for what he did. I respected the hell out of him for what he did for his, you know, entertainment and business, and a lot of men and women, for that matter, owe this man a great deal of gratitude for paving the way for what they do currently today.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up so many great points, Sirius, and I definitely it's unfortunate that we wait until these legends, you know, transition into the next life before we give them their flowers, right? You know, he never asked for his flowers. He doesn't want flowers because you want to give him flowers. He wants flowers because he deserves flowers. Great song by Sky Zoo. I love that song about flowers. Give me my flowers while I'm here. And I wish we had done more. The documentary came out. We know his health was failing a little bit, but it was great to know that. I missed it. I actually recorded it, because I was with the family and everything, and you know, I plan on watching it very soon. But the documentary, just talking about his legacy, and, you know, think about how many people learn the game of football from his video game alone, not even just his broadcasting, right? Sirius, like his, you know, he breaking down plays and, you know, action on the field, circling players and, you know, what, you know, little things that you've never seen before on TV, but then the game that he loved, bringing the realism of the NFL game to a video, you know, to a video game that was easily digestible. And, you know, it, a lot of people learn football just from that game alone. And you're so right. I mean, it's taking something like football and be able to market it. Nobody had ever done something like that ever on in that scale, like a video game, right? And to see where it is now, you know, it's a phenomenon. There's gamers that have tournaments for Madden, right? It's beyond huge. I certainly hope they do a tribute for him on the next game. I don't want to see any NFL player on the cover. I just want to see John Madden on that cover. I still remember having, I think it was Madden 93 for Sega Genesis. I think that was my first Madden game, the cartridge, the long cartridge I had. And playing with the Giants that one year, we were good in 93, and the Cowboys and the Bills were, and the 49ers were the three best teams in that game. But, you know, it changed my life, that game. So, and John Madden, he's an icon. You know, he you know, from the bus, riding around cross country because he didn't want to fly. There's so many great stories about John Madden, and you never hear anybody say anything bad about him, right? So, you know, it's unfortunate that he passed. He lived a long life, 85 years old. You know, it's just unfortunate. Like, and I said, when you text that, I just, like, my heart dropped because I was just like, damn, like, you know, damn, like, another one, you know what I mean? So I don't know if you have anything to add, Sirius, but I definitely want to, you know, give him his flowers while we have the chance.
Nah, man, I mean, I've said all I need to say on it, man. It's unfortunate, but we can definitely move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You know, and prayers up for the Madden family, friends, anybody that knew him. I never met him, but I wish I did. I really do. So, and you know, his documentary is airing right now on Fox. They're re-airing it tonight twice, and then they're going to air it again tomorrow on Fox. It's on FS1 now, and then they're going to re-air it on Fox. So if you missed it, please, you know, watch it. It came on Christmas Day, but, you know, hit the record button. It's a great watch, I'm sure. So, yeah, let's get to some business. You know, one thing that came across that I don't know if you heard about, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers, after their loss to the Pelicans, got, you know, they lost 108-104, got some even worse news that their guard, Ricky Rubio, has an ACL tear and is going to miss the rest of the season. You know, unfortunate for him. The Cavs, 20-14, man, playing some good basketball. I mean, everybody thought they would fall apart soon enough, but that Central Division is tough. You got the Bulls, you got the Bucks, Cleveland playing well. Indiana's underachieving right now, but Cleveland, you know, still hanging in there, still playing some solid basketball. Kevin Love, who had a tough season last year, has come back and embraced his role as a leader and off the bench in helping these young Cavs, you know, stay alive in this young season. I don't know if you heard about it, you know, but Rubio averaging 13 points, you know, an assist machine, you know, goes down for the season. I don't know if, you know, I don't know how they're going to weather the storm. I'm serious. I don't know if you had any, if you heard about the injury and how,
yeah,
how it would,
yeah,
affect them. You know, they had some losses lately, but, you know, after their hot start, you know, they had been struggling a little bit, losing, you know, to some tough teams. The Suns, they had to play the Suns, the Nets, the Warriors, then the Nets, then the Celtics. Ouch. Right, but still weathering the storm. I don't know if you had any thoughts on Rubio's ACL tear.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I definitely saw when it came across the screen, and it's something that I actually feel bad for with Rubio. He's a guy who, in my opinion, who never has really given his just due. We watched this guy grow up in the league.
Yeah.
He came over from Spain, and, you know, he was – the young guy, and he's been passed around from team to team, from from player to player. And so I was like, look, I really thought, in my opinion, that he would jump on and do well. And, you know, he was averaging 13. He was always dropping assists. And, you know, they were just kind of hovering there in that playoff positioning. So for him to come down injured is unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So a name to keep in mind, and I saw this, obviously I'm a Houston Rocket fan, John Wall is disgruntled. He wants out of Houston.
Yeah.
Give him a call. See what's up.
Yeah, so, I mean, I want to lament on Rubio, but I definitely want to talk Wall with you. That's a great point. But this is the second time he tore his left ACL. I hope he can come back from this, but I don't know, bro. I mean, you know, to tear that knee twice is – I don't know how you can come back from that. I hope he does. He, like you said, he's an underrated player, a great international player as well. I would have loved to have him as a point guard on the Knicks. I wanted him for a couple years. He had been shooting a lot better this year. You know, he wasn't known as a shooter. He was also always a distributor. I think he had a 20 assist game, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, unfortunately, I hope he can come back. But to your point, you know, John Wall has been disgruntled. I don't think they've been playing him at all, right? In Houston, he hasn't seen the court.
No, he hasn't seen the fall season.
Right. So, if you had to put your GM cap on, they just lost I want to talk about this. They just lost to the Lakers. He didn't play in that game. If you were a GM, Houston 10-25 right now, not a real shot of winning. Big salary. I think he's $40 million or so this year. What do you do? Where's the best fit for him to go?
To be honest with you, and again, this is going to sound funny because I'm a Rockets fan. I don't care. I don't care. Get the dude away from our franchise. You know, so maybe if Cleveland wants to do something, you know, I'll be okay with that. If OKC wants to do something, I honestly don't care. You know, now with that being said, the GM in me, Tinsdale, like he has no trade value in my opinion because he's very
okay.
To move that contract. So, and he hasn't played. And the last time we seen him on the floor, he's very, 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 very disgruntled. So as far as moving that deal, I'm not too sure how that's going to work out. I have no idea how that's going to work out. I look at somebody like maybe Dallas. Maybe, you know, you can potentially move Luka to the two and have John Wall and Luka and maybe Porzingis maybe. Maybe we'll move over to Detroit maybe. Again, I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. I just find he thinks that, again, he's wasting space and time on my bench. He clearly doesn't want to be there. And as Mike Tomlin always likes to say, we want volunteers and not hostages. And right now, he's behaving as a hostage.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. I see him as a fit for teams, but I don't see him going anywhere because that $44 million, that's a massive contract, especially if you're a contender or a mid-level contender to take on and then have to move salary to make it work. Houston's going to have to work a buyout, and that's the only way that they're going to get rid of him. OKC would be, you know, a salary dump. I don't think they have enough assets to do it. So there's fits for him. I think he can go to probably like the Sixers or a team that it would be interesting to me. I'm looking at rosters. I'm looking at teams. I would say Cleveland and Philly are the only teams I would probably think you can make something work, but it would be a buyout. I just don't see.
The thing is, Philly. Philly is back in the market again, you know what I'm saying, because this whole Ben Simmons thing is starting to resurface. Now, I've said this on numerous occasions. I don't want the guy. I think he is also another locker room. He can't shoot the damn ball, so he's a liability to me on the floor. However, they are in a position right now where if they get a legitimate point guard or somebody who can help them out in that one position – and move Maxey back to the bench where he's coming off the bench, I think that'll actually help Philly. And if anybody can kind of get John Wall to straighten up and fly right, you would think it would be, you know, Doc Rivers. So,
right.
We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know where – I just don't know anybody that would trade for him straight up. It's going to have to be a buyout. I just don't see anybody – you would have to give up. If you were Philly, you would have to give up Tobias and other pieces to make that deal work, to even make it work. So I got Mr. Harvey in the building. I'm going to bring him in. Michael calling in from the 615. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, fellas?
chilling like a villain.
I'm out west spending time with a man for Christmas holidays. And so popping in with you guys. You know, I'm popping in. You guys are talking about John Wall. And I think the thing that comes to me, you know, I hear Cleveland. I'm like, wait. So the way Cleveland is playing right now with, like, a guy like Darius Garland and with the guys that they have on that team, no way do I disrupt that. The only way that, to me, a team, it would make sense. Like you said this earlier, the only way that it would make sense would be a buyout in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Because if I'm looking at this and I'm any other team, especially a team that's having a little bit of success, I mean, this may be the longest John – okay, I'm being a little bit facetious here, but this is the longest he's gone into a season without being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he hasn't been playing. But, I mean, John Wall gets – listen, it has to be a buyout. As much time as this guy's been injured and as much time as this guy's missed, you can't convince me to give up or find $44 million worth of contracts to trade away to bring this guy onto my team. There were times that, like, his ceiling looked like he could be that kind of a difference maker. It's really funny, though, because you look at it and you think, like, okay, they pulled off a trade. The Wizards got out of the John Wall contract to get Russell Westbrook. And they were into the playoffs last year, and then you look at what the Lakers are doing, it's like they could really use a point guard that's actually a distributed first now. But I don't see that contract. I don't see any team making any kind of special effort to get him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't really followed him. The Sirius would know better if he's really being disruptive, like we say Ben Simmons is, but I'm looking at, like, Kemba, how he was professional through his whole benching. He's come back and really kind of lit a spark for the Knicks a little bit. I haven't really heard a lot of about John Wall until, you know, his name comes up in trade rumors. So hopefully, you know, it's not a big deal for them to just work the buyout, move on. It didn't work. You took the Wizards garbage and, you know, it didn't work. It just didn't work. So, I still think he can play in this league. I think he can be effective. You know, he needs to be on the court. He needs to play. So, we'll see how that works.
Okay, so I'm going to say this is going to sound really, really, really facetious, but hear me out.
Okay.
If Isaiah Thomas and Joe Johnson played an NBA game before John Wall was a problem.
Isaiah Thomas just got signed by a hardship deal by the Mavericks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, checkmate.
Right. If he sees the court a couple times before Wall does. Now, don't get me wrong, if they both end up on teams, Isaiah Thomas may play more games than Wall because Wall will go down again. But he should at least play.
I don't know. I don't even see a fit for him, to be honest with you. I mean, other than those two teams, I really don't. So,
and you know, everybody talks about moving Luka off the ball. Like that's a consistent thing that gets brought up a lot. When that guy's right, he doesn't need to necessarily be moved off the ball. I think at times because of his size, it can work some, but he has shown the ability at times when he's going well and he's in shape to be just fine on the ball.
Here's why I disagree with that, okay? Luka can definitely play with the basketball, but the problem with him is the ball gets to him and it sticks. It doesn't move anywhere else. That's the issue that Porzingis has with him. So if you are able to move Luka off the ball and potentially bring in another star, another mid-level player to come alongside and play with Luka, then that would make the Dallas Mavericks that much more difficult to guard. But with Luka playing with the ball the whole time, the ball's a six.
But let me ask you a question, though, real quick, on this same topic before we move on. Is the ball sticking because the coach really wanted to stand up to his star and make him continue to flow with the system and play the way he needs to play? Because we read stories about how Carlisle lost that team and there were guys that just kind of barely kept them together and whatever else. So is the ball sticking because of people saying, okay, we're going to let the Wonder Kid do what he wants? Or is it sticking because – and he's unable to play in a system where the ball continues to move? Do you see what I'm saying? That which one's the answer?
Well, I mean, I tell you. But I think the answer is somewhere in the middle because Rick Carlisle has always been – that type of a coach. I mean, even when he had Dirk, I mean, the ball moved, though. You know what I'm saying? Because he had Jay Kidd there, and Jay Kidd moved the rock, and they was able to play off the ball, and that's how they got that championship. But when you got a talented guy like a Luka, I understand the enamoredness to fall in love with him and watch him do what he does, but that's not a team ball. It makes Dallas Mavericks very easy to guard. So... I just don't feel like he makes others better.
I don't feel like he's making others better. Like, LeBron is one of the best point guards in the league because he his IQ and he makes the right passes and makes other people better. I agree with Sirius. The ball just sticks. And I don't know if he knows any other way to play other than that ball dominant, lead guard, top of the key, you know, type of player. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we talked about it before, too, Mike. Like, He doesn't make players better. Porzingis plays better when Luka isn't on the court. The team doesn't necessarily play better because I don't think they've won a game when Luka hasn't played. But I think, you know, the ball just moves a lot better, you know. But I think the pieces in Dallas don't fit either. I don't think they upgraded. I think Bullock is a good player because he's a 3-and-D guy, but Hardaway, he's too streaky. Porzingis
his shot's not falling, Hardaway's not very good. Right? Like,
he's not. And Porzingis needs somebody to play off of. He needs a point guard that can distribute and find him in spots, right? That's not Luka's game. Luka is going to shoot first. So those two just don't fit together right. They can play together, but they don't fit right. So I think it's a problem of how this team is built. And I don't see it getting any better. And you know what? Porzingis has been healthy enough this year. I'll give him that. But it's just not a fit. Like, the point guard situation, it doesn't work. It doesn't work in Dallas. So maybe off the ball is best, but then you're not getting the best Luka that you can get. So I don't know. I think it's just the pieces. I don't think the pieces fit right. But what we can we can talk about. Speaking of pieces that don't fit right, Mike, the Lakers. They beat Sirius's team. Got triple doubles from LeBron, and they got a triple double from Russ. But I mean, I'm just not impressed, man. I you know it takes you know, Russell gets the triple-double, comes out and says everything's fine. You know, I'm just control what I whatever he said. But it's like he gets the 10 assists, but then he has 7 turnovers. Like,
I've never seen
he was shooting a ball. I saw a video of Russell Westbrook shooting a mid-range shot looking like Kareem Bigum, like Spice Adams, like shooting it off the top of the backboard that almost hit the shot clock. I mean, I don't think the Lakers can make a move with that roster because nobody would take those pieces. But can they get Michael? Can they figure it out?
So, man, my answer keeps changing. And it's really weird, too, because if you go back and watch Westbrook in a Thunder uniform, especially the year they went to the finals, Westbrook was absolutely killing those guys from the elbow. That little mid-range shot, he was knocking it down on a regular basis. And now it's almost like he's got the yips. You guys remember Rick Ankiel?
Yeah, sure.
That you were from the Cardinals that couldn't find the plate anymore. I mean, it's almost like – it almost looks
Chuck
like
Knobloch.
That's what's going on. And, yeah, Knobloch at second base. Yeah, yeah, there you go, Yankees fan. so, you know, you go back and look at it, though, and it's just like I don't know what's happening. It's always been, even before they got Westbrook, as high of an IQ as LeBron has, and you guys talk about whatever, LeBron still turns the ball over a lot. The Lakers, I want to say even when they won the championship a couple of years ago, I saw a stat that said that they had more turnovers than any team to win a championship in, like, they're averaging more turnovers a game than any team to win a championship in, like, 30-some-odd years or something ridiculous. LeBron is still going to have a little bit of a high volume in turnovers, and so you bring in another guy who, I mean, listen, this guy has more turnovers than he does made buckets in a lot of games.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, well, you got veteran guys. You got guys that have been around. And now I also understand that, like, some of these protocols and some of this is robbing people of time and rotations and whatever else. And so you want to think, well, maybe they'll find a way to get it together at some point. But listen, I just watched them last week get embarrassed by Phoenix on their home court. Right? Like, it wasn't even close. They had went on a huge run to make that Christmas Day game close. I mean, they were down by 23 at one. And if you hadn't had Westbrook throwing up shots and LeBron settling for threes when that's not what got them back in the game in the first place, then maybe you somehow find a way to win a game you had no business being around at the end anyway. But I just don't see – I think the ceiling for this team right now, the absolute ceiling today – as I look at it now, could they change my mind later in the year if they go on a run? We've seen veteran teams flip a switch and go on a run like that. I don't see it happening with this team. But the absolute ceiling right now for this team is the fourth best team in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And I don't know if
they're lucky.
And they need a big ladder to reach that.
Right. I mean, they'll be lucky if they get in the play-in game the way they're playing right now. I mean, AD's hurt again. It's just, you know, Stan Van Gundy came out a couple of days ago and had said, you know, in the NBA, achieving the triple-double doesn't mean a player played well. And you know, everybody took that as a shot at Russell Westbrook. But, I mean, ball don't lie. I mean, you got 7 turnovers with 10 assists. I mean, LeBron had 3 turnovers in that game against the Rockets. Westbrook had 7 because he consistently is jumping in the air, making a stupid pass instead of playing. How did Kevin Durant manage to play with this guy as long as he did? And you know what I mean? Like, everybody killed Durant for leaving him to go to the Warriors. But I'm like, what choice did he have? I mean, and I hate to do it. I hate to bash on him, but it's like, at some point, it's just the pieces just don't fit. And LeBron thought he could make it work because he's LeBron. And I thought – everybody thought he could make it work, but the pieces don't fit. It just doesn't. And I don't know where you go. I mean, serious, I don't know how you feel about the Lakers 17 and 18 right now. You know, they got to win against your boys. But, I mean, it was – you know, it just – I just wasn't impressed. You know, I think I just really got a long way to go, serious.
You know, honestly, for me, I looked at the game and I'm one of the lone guys that still honestly believe that there's going to come a time where they flip a switch. Where, you know, the pieces aligned and you know, they go on this massive run. And the reason why I think that is because when you have the talented men that they have, albeit they're not playing well together, you know, their starting lineup hasn't been on the floor for, you know, more than five games. And, you know, and you have the pieces in place to compete. I think they're going to figure something out. You know, whether a move is made. Now, my home dude came by the crib yesterday. He was like, okay, so let me ask you this question, Aaron. Like, when we, you know, get to March and that trade deadline comes, is Russell Westbrook on this roster?
Well,
I said no. I was against. You know, and that's part of the turning it on and figuring it out that I'm speaking about. I don't think that some of the people that are currently there now will be there later. I still think AD is there. I think Melo's still there, but I don't think Russ is there. I don't think Bazemore's there. There's a couple guys that, you know, are going to be shipped and dealt, you know, for pieces that LeBron ultimately leaves. Because at the end of the day, I have a hard time betting against LeBron James and this Lakers team to figure whatever needs to be figured out in order to put themselves in position to try to make a run. Whether they do it or not is up in the air, but I think they figure it out.
I mean, it's hard to bet against LeBron, especially in the playoffs. But, I mean, with these pieces, with AD not on the court consistently enough, and when he was on the court, he was just not impressive to me. I think he was a really good player, but just not an elite player. He should be in his prime right now. You know, he should be at the peak of his powers. And, you know, I'm not seeing anything from this guy that, you know, he doesn't take over games. He's too passive. Like, he had one game where he had, like, five attempts in the half. Like, you know, it just – LeBron did not come here for that. 37 years old, did not come here to be Batman. He wanted to be Robin. You know what I mean? Like, I think he picked the wrong superhero to go with. But, you know, I got the Timeless Wonder in the house. TP Timeless, let me bring him in before my computer craps out on me. Mr. Timeless, what's up, my brother?
Nothing much, man. I'm actually looking at what's going on with this Memphis Lakers game, too. It looked pretty crazy, too.
Yeah, what do you see, brother?
I agree with Sirius. I feel like the Lakers will turn this on somewhere. I just don't know when. The one thing that I do look at how bad that this is going on, I think Vogel may not last long there. They do need a coach with a strong personality, I guess, to deal with all of these other personalities to try to get them on board with what they have. And Vogel is more or less like reluctant to have these guys on his roster to make this happen. There's a lot of injuries happening. We're being ravaged by the COVID situation. But I don't think the Lakers are going to be down for too long. But this is very interesting that they are at this point at the, you know, 35 game margin of the season. It's bad. This is bad. I didn't ever think that the Lakers would be this bad. And the way they were constructed, I really thought that they would be the favorite to get to the championship. There was a stat that said that no team with championship aspirations have been this bad or, you know, at 500 or lower at this portion of the season. So there's going to have to be an extreme switch. They're trying to give LeBron a lot of credit and lining him up at center last night. They were playing the Rockets.
Yeah.
Like don't oversell that. Like The Rockets are struggling trying to find their ID out too. Like, this isn't them playing a stout Rockets team. This is them with a whole bunch of youth, and you're giving LeBron credit. It's beyond them just trying to, you know, fan LeBron at this point in time. But, I mean, we'll see. They're in the Western Conference right now. They'll have to try, at this point, they'll have to play the play-in to play ball. So they're going to have to do the same thing that they did last year as well. So I don't know. Hopefully they do turn this thing around. But the fan in me is like, no, continue to struggle and let somebody else do it.
You bring up a great point, TP, and I want to get your opinion on this. So everybody wanted to kill Vogel, you know, and wanted to run him out of town. He's been dealing with the COVID. They've been losing since he's been gone. I mean, they won their first game, I think, without him, as Fizdale, former Knick head coach, has been acting as the coach. So, I mean, they were – can you blame Vogel? I know he's going to be the fall guy because you can't get rid of LeBron, but, I mean, like, if they got rid of Vogel, who's the coach that steps in, and can they figure it out if Vogel's the guy that takes the fall?
I mean, right now it's going to go as a chain of command, so Lionel Hollins will be the next guy because he's been on that bench. Mm-hmm. They let Jason Kidd leave and run to Dallas while he was there, so I think that's the only situation they can go. I don't think they're going to go to another coach that's outside of the organization and come take over while they have a strong candidate in Lionel Hollins at this point in time. But I think they're going to have to make that move as soon as possible and not let this season be a disaster and watch these pieces go elsewhere. So it's interesting on what and where they have to go at this point in time. It's very interesting. But just to see the Lakers this way, like, I don't know whether to laugh or like, be concerned. But, you know, the fan in me just watching the Lakers struggle is something else.
I mean, I'm concerned. I just don't think the pieces fit. Like I said, I think Westbrook is just too – he just doesn't take care of the ball as a point guard. You don't have to really come up on him because he's not a really lethal shooter. So I just think just the pieces just don't fit. They just don't. Round pole and square peg, I mean, it just doesn't fit. But, Michael, if Vogel is let go, which a lot of people think will probably happen if this doesn't turn around, where do the Lakers go from there?
Yeah, you know, Thomas makes a point with Lionel Hollins on the bench. I think that the initial plan when Vogel was hired was, if it didn't work out, that, you know, Jason Kidd would be that eventual guy. Mm. And then, you know, like you said, they let Kidd leave and go to Dallas. So maybe you have to go Lionel Hollins, but I don't know how much that inspires me either. I don't see another answer, and I don't see a guy that's ready to step in and be a high-quality head coach for this team. It's not really there. I mean, you know, there's been talk every year about, will Mark Jackson ever get a shot? Will this person get a shot? But It's gonna take a strong personality, but a uniter of men too that can find a way to get all these guys to be on the same page. And I'm not sure that you have that. There's not a coach anymore that can get players to channel the Zen or whatever. In the day, you don't really have that anymore, right? So, I mean, if you make a move now, you probably do have to go with Lionel Hollins, but it just doesn't. Unfortunately, you can't turn over that roster right now, and so somebody's got to be the fall guy, and it probably is going to be Vogel. But and this is a problem if you put together a roster like this, and you've got so much of your payroll tied up into three guys, and so now you've just tried to go league minimum with guys that, I mean, you know, are coming in with their key cards in one hand and their AARP cards in the other. Trying to form out your roster. You got a lot of age on this roster. You got a couple of young guys, but you definitely have a lot more age than youth. And you can't really turn it around. You can't make the numbers match up on any contracts. If you're not putting one of those three main guys in the trade, then you'd have to pretty much give up everybody else on your roster just to bring back one guy. And last time I checked, you got to have five guys on the court to start. And we know that day-to-day, this is going to be in street clothes.
Right. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know. I Vogel is a really good defensive coach. I think he's getting killed because he's a defensive coach, and the team is
and they're
not
playing
the
defense.
Exactly. Right. But I look at it like it's a totally different roster. That roster that was in L.A. last year isn't there last year. The one that was the number one defense in efficiency is, what, 25, 26 now? It's not the same roster. You got LeBron at center. You got Melo. Melo's never been a defender. It's just not the same team. So, but they're going to figure it out. They're going to be in the playoffs. But I just don't – they're not going to make a run, in my opinion, with those pieces. So, but we'll see how it plays out. I want to switch gears to the NFL before we get out of here, because there's a lot of great matchups in the NFL this week. You know, Cardinals, Cowboys, you got Vikings, Packers, you got the Bengals hosting the Chiefs, et cetera, et cetera. Sirius, I'm going to come to you. Which game out of all these games for week 17, there's a lot of great matchups. We can skip over the Giants and Bears. That's the toilet bowl. You don't care about that game. But we can go to any other game that you want to talk about and see which one do you think is the most intriguing this weekend.
You know, I'm going to be called a homer, but Pittsburgh hosting Cleveland for potentially Big Ben's farewell, Hines still kind of has me in my field a little bit. I understand the magnitude mm-hmm. of the every game since Cincinnati wins, you know, they won the division.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Green Bay and the Vikings is a divisional matchup, but for me, to send Big Ben off on Monday Night Football, into potential retirement, it has me in the field a little bit. So that one is, you know, earmark number one for me, but I do gotta wait to see that. If there's another game that kind of caught my eye, Cincinnati hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, from what Cincinnati's been doing this year, you know, if you listen to our show on Monday, I said their head coach should win Coach of the Year. Mm. You know, so but with that being said, I think that's the game I'm gonna keep an eye on.
Absolutely. That's going to be a really fun game, too. I love to see that defense in Kansas City match up with Joe Burrow and those weapons on the outside. TP, what game are you looking forward to seeing this week? There's no Thursday game, so Miss Avery will miss Uncle TP in the house. But, I mean, what game other than the Giants and Bears game are you looking forward to the most this coming weekend?
The Giants and the Bears.
toilet bowl.
And you want to know why? Look, this is the crazy part about it. Can the Giants send Nagy packing, and can Saquon redeem himself on the field that he tore everything up?
True.
This is the game
True.
That happened where he just had a simple run play. It was a tackle, and he fell to his right, and then you could just see his leg give out. And it's like,
yep.
I don't want him
yep.
to, you know, have that injury bug whisper to him. I'm being funny, though, but not about the injury. I don't want to laugh at that injury at all. I just wanted to be funny about that. But if the Giants win this game, and I really feel like that they can, I think the Giants can win this game, Nagy's gone. Like, I already feel like it now, but, like, if they pull that off, he could kiss that team goodbye. I do like the Chiefs-Bengals game, definitely. I want to see if the Bengals can stop the Chiefs. Do you know how red-hot the Chiefs are right now?
Oh, yeah.
They are red-hot. They are red-hot. That's another game. The Titans-Dolphins game is definitely a huge game right now. The Dolphins could actually save their season if they could win in Tennessee. Tennessee could still try to outright be a number one if they win out, keep pace. That's another thing to look out to. There's a ton of them, but I think definitely the Chiefs-Bengals one. The Rams-Ravens is a good one, and I think Vegas is up to no good because the Rams are actually trying to play good ball, but they're playing a team with a winning record. If Lamar comes back, then this spread looks interesting. The Rams are only favored by 3.5 in Baltimore, but it depends on if Lamar comes back. So that's something I'll be watching.
They said he's hobbling in practice, TP. He said he's hobbling. He's back to practice.
At least he's practicing, though. This is what they want. They want him to do everything, so this is what you get.
Absolutely.
Nothing outside of him. Y'all want him to scramble and make all the throws. Look at what y'all about to do to a franchise quarterback. And another one is the Cardinals-Cowboys. Even though the Cardinals are falling asleep now, the Cowboys are getting better and believing in that defense. It's interesting to see if the Cardinals can bounce back in Jerry's world, too. So that's another game, to watch.
Who needs that game more, TP, the Cardinals or the Cowboys?
Cardinals by far.
Yeah, not even close.
And this is the one thing that makes them even more dangerous is that they're better on the road. They can't win in the toaster. So if they can go into Jerry World like they did last year, because this is what happened last year, if you guys remember. I think this was the first game Andy Dalton took over, and Kyler Murray had, like, 9 pass completions for like 400 yards and like 4 touchdowns. It was crazy. It was one of the most electric 9 completions I ever seen in my life. Everything he threw went to the house last year. So hopefully they could do that again. But the Cowboys now have a pass rusher in Micah Parsons that might make it even more difficult. But Kyler's a scrambler too, so their hands are full. This is a very good game.
I love this game. This is a big matchup. I think the Cowboys need this game a little bit more because they need that home field. I think we and Sirius talked about it yesterday. I think they don't want to go to Tampa Bay or Green Bay in the playoffs. If they're home in Jerry's world, they're going to be a tough team to face. Michael, what do you think about this week's matchups? Which one intrigues you the most? And I'll ask you the same question, Cowboys or Cardinals, who needs the game more?
I think right now the Cardinals need it more just to have a little bit of momentum again because they've kind of really fallen asleep. As Simon said, the Cowboys have kind of righted the ship a little bit. They looked really good, you know, against the football team on Sunday night. I'm really interested in this Cincinnati-Kansas City, but for the other side of the ball, like you said, he's curious to see if the Bengals can stop the Chiefs. That Chiefs defense has been playing really well the last few weeks. So I'm curious to see how that Chiefs defense does against that Bengals offense too. Like that, I'm curious to see the other side of the ball in that game and to see what Joe Burrow and that Bengals offense can do against a much maligned early in the season Chiefs defense. That you know, listen, when they got Chris Jones back, has really, you know, that defense carried them because, let's be honest, during that win streak, there were still a couple of very mediocre games by Mahomes early on in that streak. So I'm curious to see kind of how that plays out and what happens there. And to your point earlier about the Bears-Giants, I think if it's not before then, I think on Black Monday after the season's over, I think Matt Nagy's gone anyway from Chicago this year.
Yeah, he's got to be the first one. I mean, I don't want to see people get fired, but it's just not working. Fields and company, they need a switch. I think it's a wrap for them. Sirius, Cardinals or Cowboys, who needs that game more, in your opinion? I think the Cardinals do need it to TP and Mike's point because they're struggling right now, especially with D-Hop on the shelf. They need to get that offense going. But I think the Cowboys just need to win. They need consistency. I'm not convinced after that football team game. They haven't done it consistent enough. They need home field, in my opinion. What do you think?
You know, I agree with you, actually. You know, I will say this. The Cardinals need to show and prove. Like, they have played piss poor for the better part of almost a month now on both sides of the football. Kyler Murray has significantly regressed since he returned from his injury. But, again, we said it Monday night, and I'm doubling down on that. If there was ever a team that needed home field advantage It's the Dallas Cowboys, and right now they put themselves in position to keep the pressure on the Green Bay Packers to keep winning to secure that number one seed in that bye. I have a hard time picturing Dallas winning a playoff game away from their home venue. So I think Dallas needs this a little bit more than the Cardinals. Other points are valid, and I agree with them all, but I just think it's more for Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dallas is more than the Cardinals.
Say it again, TP.
Wait, Dallas needs this game more than the Cardinals do?
I think they
need home field.
I think they need home field.
Bro, you just said they lost for the entire month of December. They deserve to lose again?
The thing is, TP, they qualify for the playoffs already, okay? The Arizona
right.
Cardinals play better on the – yeah, they did. The Arizona Cardinals play better on the road than they do at home.
Right.
7-1
like
on the road.
Right.
Third point, the Dallas Cowboys play significantly better at home. And if they want to make a postseason run, I will feel this home field advantage will be more beneficial for Dallas than it would be for Arizona.
So
let's keep the pressure on.
Let's just say, so this will be the second. So it'll be the 2nd of January. So let the 26th, they lost. The 19th, they lost. The 12th, did they lose that game? I'm trying to figure out if they lost that game. No.
They lost that game. I watched that game with you. That was the one that played the Rams.
That was the Monday night game. They lost. So
yeah.
They are on a streak right now. And you want them to head to the playoffs with that morale? At least if they get the Cowboys, they build back what they've done this season?
I mean, again,
you're not going to stumble into the playoffs with a 4 or 5 game lose, or 5. This could get worse. If this is a 5 or 6 game losing streak, this would be disgusting for them to go to the playoffs. Nobody would take them.
Yeah, but I think the question is who needs it more? And I just think
right.
Yeah, you could say it 55-45. I think Dallas needs it more because Dallas hasn't been playing great. They played a 21-6 game against the Giants. Hello. That's crap. I mean, yes, they dominated the football team this
rivalry.
Past week, but they almost blew a game against the football team a couple weeks ago. They're not playing consistently enough. The offense is – what? I watched
both of those
games. They didn't
the
look
Giant
great.
Game is rivalry. The football team is a rivalry. They're comfortable playing them teams.
Their offense is so inconsistent right now. The defense is playing well, but – you're talking about a defense that is bend or don't break and needs turnovers to be successful. You think Aaron Rodgers is going to throw interceptions like Heineke or Matt Glennon's been throwing to them? That ain't happening. That's why they need every advantage that they could possibly get. Being in Jerry's world as opposed to the frozen tundra at Lambeau Field is way more important to me.
I don't know. I'm baffled. This is a situation where they're talking about if Kingsbury can hang on to the job right now if he keep messing up, and he's losing right now.
That's comical. That's comical.
They were a number one seed all season long to fall potentially to the 6th, and that is horrible. That is horrible.
Nobody's negating that. But the issue at hand is who needs this game significantly better. Right now, both teams are qualified for the playoffs. Check. Teams play better. One plays better on the road. One plays better at home. Okay, so if the team that plays better on the road doesn't need home field advantage, why would they need this game, you know, to build morale, to build camaraderie.
No, to prove that they can play on the road. You're helping me. They're in Jerry's world. They got to beat them. And listen, where are they going to go to the playoffs and play on the road if they're playing on the road in Dallas up against a playoff team and they can't win that game in that building where they're strong and they're a playoff caliber team that got to prove that. If they're going to back their way into the playoffs and be on a 4 or 5 game losing streak, that's not going to work. I don't get this at all, bro.
Dallas
is still in the situation. Dallas, I get it. Dallas is more stout at home, but Dallas can still win a game on the road. You still got to worry about that offensive line, Zeke running the ball, and that passing game. It ain't too many corners in a cornerback committee for each team to stop all of what they have to go off of passing routes, all of them.
But Dallas can go from being a one seed, they're one game behind Green Bay, getting that only bye, only one team gets to bye, and falling all the way down to a four seed and welcoming the Cardinals back into Jerry's World. And the Cardinals are a road team. They need to win. They can't be the four seed because they got a team up against the Cardinals. That's a tough matchup, and the Eagles are not a good matchup for Dallas. They aren't. They can beat them at their own game. They could go from they're 11-4 right now. They can go all the way to 11-6, be a four seed, welcoming the Cardinals or the Rams into their building in the first round. I don't think they want that smoke. That's just me.
That's another team that and unfortunately won't be able to have home field advantage. But the Rams, I don't like them on the road neither.
No.
I get
it's
them.
Gonna be,
that,
it's
going to
be
different.
Go ahead, TP.
So I said I get them. That's different because it's Stafford and them, and they're more stronger in SoFi than anywhere else, especially if they're playing a winning caliber team. Like, they don't win. He doesn't win against strong teams. Like, he doesn't. So it's his
right.
Unless he could destroy that mantra for this season, it's still around him. It's still at his feet at the end of the day.
I mean, there's a lot of good storylines in the NFC and the AFC. I mean, I want to bring it around the table too, TP. I'll start with you. You know, if the season stopped right now, who's your MVP in the league? I'm dying to know.
That's a very tough question, man. That's tough. You should have heard what Deion said. You heard what Deion said today?
No, what did he say?
Deion Sanders said Trayvon Diggs is the MVP.
Of course he's going to say that. He's a cornerback in Dallas.
Right. No. That's
yeah.
why I laughed. That's why I laughed.
I mean,
he said
is
the
he
defense.
Wrong, though?
He's wrong. Yes. What? Are you wrong?
okay.
Listen,
okay.
If you see what – okay. Okay, so there's the Jeopardy host right now. He's going absolutely crazy again, as we normally see around this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
His electric stats. I think he only has four picks on the season. It's still incredible that he's still doing this, even with him
yep.
wanting Randall Cobb, and Randall Cobb is on the IR. He's still doing it with, you know, not too big name of receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sitcom from the 60s, 70s. There's a story of a guy named Brady still getting it done right now at 44 years old. Like, and with everything that they've had to deal with, every piece of player that they have in that office that's been in and out, he's dealt with Antonio Brown missing 5 weeks while they were injured too. Like they're still afloat to be at least top of the NFC food chain right now. Like, that's incredible
mm-hmm.
for him. I think it's nothing different. But there's a lot of names to throw in that hat. I mean, some names have fallen from earlier this year, like Josh Allen. I don't know if Stafford is still in that discussion. I don't think so. As many picks as he's throwing right now at the end of the season, and pick sixes included. But it's interesting. But that Trayvon Diggs by Coach Prime was very laughable. I had to say that.
I mean, you know, he you haven't seen a cornerback, you know, I mean, it's probably since Revis Island have a season like that, but even Revis wasn't a MVP candidate. So it's crazy. I mean, yeah, Rodgers is my pick right now, but there's a lot of good players. Mike,
mm-hmm.
who would you have as an MVP right now, Michael? Did we lose Mike?
I keep going back and forth on this. Before they got shut out a couple weeks ago, I probably would have said Brady. And he's still in the discussion, but I think the Jeopardy host, I think that I think that honestly, if I were going to pick a guy off Dallas, it wouldn't be Diggs, though. It would be the other kid. Michael Parsons.
You would get really.
Well, just because I think he's made a huge difference as far as turnovers and really impacted the game. Like, I think he's probably a defensive rookie of the year, to be honest with you, for sure.
Absolutely.
But I'd probably go with Aaron for 600.
That's hilarious.
Double jeopardy. I mean, Mahomes kind of Mahomes, you know, had some struggled at times this year. And you're right, there were some other guys in the discussion earlier in the year, like Lamar Jackson and like Josh Allen and like Kyler Murray. If I wasn't going to give it to a quarterback, I would really consider Jonathan Taylor. But
yep.
You know, we didn't hear Derrick Henry much. We didn't hear very much of Derrick Henry in the MVP discussion when he was getting 2,000 yards last year. So, you know, this kind of came out of nowhere. People thought Taylor had this kind of talent, but didn't really see him like blowing up like this. But to me, it probably has to be the Jeopardy host.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor's about to get to 2,000. I think he's, what, 374 yards away? I mean, I was telling Sirius, I had him on fantasy. I struggled with him for the first month of the season, and to see where he is right now, he's got to be a candidate. You have to have an electric season as a running back to be considered, and he's definitely having that. So, and an extra game doesn't hurt, right? That 17th game doesn't hurt. To get him to that 2,000 mark. I wonder how the stats will be kind of, if there will be an asterisk on the stats because there's an extra game. But, you know, he's having a phenomenal season. Sirius, who do you like? I mean, listen, Parsons, easy rookie defensive player of the year. If it wasn't for your boy T.J. Watt, I think he would be considered NFL defensive player of the year, Michael Parsons. But who do you like as an MVP?
Wait, you think T.J. Watt is going to win it this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd be – how many sacks does he have?
He missed games. He's missing games.
And he's still a beast.
And he still has 17 sacks.
Yeah, that's why. He's still beasting. If he gets three more sacks, I think easy. He's the defensive player of the year.
Yeah,
I mean,
Baker
I don't
see TP. Took a three sacks and a half. He has Baker Mayfield Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, TP, you know, numbers don't lie. I like Parsons. His impact on that Cowboys defense is great. But to your point, they also got Diggs, too. Like, you know,
As much credit as you give mm-hmm. Diggs, they pick on him because they tear him up, though. They're like, he may have 10 or 11 picks. He gets burned a lot. Like, they don't stop throwing at him.
Though.
Like, if the receiver loses a step, that's where he gets a lot of his picks at. Like, we will wait and see how this falls. I can't wait. This
will
be an interesting conversation here.
I will say this about that. If TJ Watt doesn't win it, okay, I think Michael Parsons does. I think T.J. Watt will win it because he's been passed over multiple times and is still putting the damn work. But I digress. To answer the question at hand, it's a two-man race, gentlemen. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor or the guy who's been immunized. Those are the two questions. Those are the two answers.
I got to throw a name out, and I'm surprised nobody said it. I thought Michael would say it, but... What about the man in L.A., Mr. Kupp? Can a receiver really be considered as an MVP candidate?
They should. They did that to Randy Moss. That 2007, Randy Moss should have got it. They gave it to Brady.
Yep.
I mean, what's the record? What's the record for catches in a season?
I think it's like 158. He's going to break that. He's going to kill it.
Yeah, because... He's at 132 right now, 14 touchdowns, 1,700 receiving yards. What a season.
Doesn't
get enough credit. Yeah, doesn't get enough credit
for
what he's doing.
Those are video game Madden numbers.
You got to see sometimes how Stafford will give him the ball like that. that hitch, or he'll give him a screen right there at the line of scrimmage and let him go to work right there. Like, they get him the ball immediately. He'll get the catches. The yardage is still to be seen, especially going up against Baltimore. But I feel like he could get the yardage against Baltimore, too. I feel like everything's supported. I think he'll end up eclipsing all of that.
Baltimore's pass defense is suspect.
Their secondary is horrible. He may get that vert ball.
Yes. I mean, if you looked at – we saw – I think T. Higgins is still running by himself down the middle of the field, right? If they can get 500 yards, a 500-piece on that secondary, Cooper Kupp might break the record this week at 1 o'clock in Baltimore. Please believe it. I mean, he's having an unbelievable year. If he gets that record,
really,
I think he gets considered. I think he does. What were you saying, Mike?
I think you're right. If he does get that record, he does get considered.
Yeah, I definitely think he should because, we haven't seen a receiver. We've seen some great seasons, but not since Moss in New England when he had he just had an it was too much of a video game. It was like too easy, right? Like that 2007 season Moss had. I think one of the best receiver seasons I've definitely ever seen in my lifetime, and we've seen the GOAT Jesus and cleats himself, right? All of us have seen him play, so. To see Kupp on that in that conversation is amazing. So I hope he gets considered. It'll be fun. This is going to be a fun weekend. Some really good games, some important games, right? Chargers Broncos is an important game. I think TPM mentioned the Colts and Raiders. Colts not having Carson Wentz. I think he's in COVID protocol, and I think Sirius, you said at least 10 days, right? Because he's not vaxxed, right?
Well, see, he actually may end up coming back because they just changed the COVID protocol policy yesterday that allows players to test out, which I think is ridiculous. But, again, I'll save that for a closeout on another time. But Carson Wentz could be in line to come back in time to play that game, depending upon how his tests go this week. So he may play.
Right. They made a call to Phillip Rivers.
I'm hoping they could get Wentz back, man, because just like Barry was talking about for Jonathan Taylor to get to 2,000, if they don't, Sam Ellinger's going to be the quarterback. They'll put eight in the box all game long.
They'll force him to throw,
and that's going to be terrible to watch that season collapse because the quarterback is getting ravaged by this freaking pandemic, man, and that's terrible.
Yeah, absolutely correct. I mean, they called Rivers to see his availability, just because they weren't sure about when.
Didn't the Saints call Drew Brees?
Yep, absolutely.
The Saints called Drew Brees.
I mean, they got to call Tyrone. They got to call anybody they can get their hands on after performance.
Geez.
Ian Book. I mean,
they said Drew Brees actually considered it. He even went outside and threw the ball around to test his shoulder, and he actually even thought about it and then decided, nah, bro, I'm not going to do it. But they said that he actually put some thought into it to come back just for one game for this Monday night game.
Wow.
And Thomas, I told you somebody was going to score 20. I just picked the wrong team.
it would have been like Kevin Costner for the love of the game if he would have came back. You know what I mean? But I mean, the Saints, they need that game, too. They're one game under 500. They're still in the race, man. Unbelievably, they're still in it. The Panthers look like they're going to start Darnold against the Saints, so we'll see how that shakes out. Cam,
the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a tough game for the Saints. Tua put it together in the second half after that silly pick that he threw. I mean, I had just said – Tua probably earned his way to have that team built around him to Sirius on the NFL free for all show. Yeah, on Monday night. I had just said that. And then what did he do? He threw a pick. He threw a terrible pick. It was ridiculous. So I was like, egg on my face. Like, typical villain. This week is going to be some fun, man. There's going to be some really good games. TP, you alluded to it too, the Chiefs and Bengals. Chiefs are one of the hottest, if not the hottest team in football right now. welcoming that defensive pressure that they're getting from Clark and company. Spagnuolo, I tip my hat to him. He's really got that defense flying, getting a lot of pressure up front. They just, what they did to the Steelers, they dismantled that team. And that's a far cry from earlier in the season where we said that defense was going to get this team killed, that they weren't going to make it anywhere in the playoffs. And now they look like they're the favorite in the AFC to make it to the Super Bowl.
Spags put up one really bad year in New Orleans, where they had record highs for yards. And listen, New Orleans had some bad teams back in the day, but like that one year that Steve Spagnuolo was in New Orleans, they gave up more yards than they'd ever given up. It was ridiculous how bad that defense was. And so of course Spags takes the fall, and then he gets a job somewhere else, and he's doing a nice job this year. But early in the year, I was wondering if that Chiefs defense was going to be rival. I was like, is this going to be his worst year as a defensive coach? I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, they looked that bad early.
They definitely did. I mean, it looked like, you know, and Spags, he's a mastermind behind the Giants defenses, in their Super Bowl run. I have a sweet spot for him. He's a really good defensive coach. He really game plans very well. And to see how that defense had struggled early in the year, and the offense, right, for the Chiefs, we wrote them off. We had thought, you know, the demise of the Chiefs were here. Mahomes wasn't gonna, you know, he was overrated. That people were saying, I don't know if anybody on this show was saying it, but you were hearing it around. And lo and behold, 11-4, you know, about to clinch home field. They just got to tip my cap to Andy Reid, one of the most underrated coaches in football. Doesn't get enough credit for how good of a coach he is. I just got to give them credit, you know, from where they were to where they are now. It's going to be fun, right, TP? Like the Chiefs and Bengals with that offense, Joe Burrow really ascending his way to the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the league, slowly but surely. Now you're having debates about him and Herbert, who would you take? But the weapons on that Bengals team, unbelievable with Higgins, Mixon, Chase, Boyd and company. Their skill positions are as good as anybody's in the league. Anybody's. I would put them up against anybody. They're fun to watch. They're going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be a great game. Looking to get that division. I don't know if anybody else. I know Sirius doesn't like to talk about Houday Nation, but I like to tweak him a little bit.
There ain't no debate no more. I don't know what you're talking about. That Herbert stuff is the rest. I mean, it was good early in the season. Once he lost that game to Baltimore, 30-something to 6, everything was out the window. I mean, they may have some shock value games, but the game that they lost to the Texans, it's like, bro, like y'all fighting for the playoffs and y'all lose this way. Like, no, there's no debate. If you're debating for Herbert to be a better quarterback than Burrow, you could call in right here, right now, or whenever we have an opportunity to have this discussion, I will say Joe Burrow until I'm blue in the face and I'm pretty dark-skinned.
I mean, it was a terrible loss, CP, right? It was an awful loss. And I said it
that's
too
horrible.
Monday,
that's horrible.
Right?
That's horrible for them to be in playoff contention. That's a bad loss. That's bad.
Right. And I said it Monday, TP. Every team that beat the Chiefs this year has had a terrible upset loss, right? The Titans losing to the Jets. You got now the Chargers losing to the Texans. It just goes down the line. The Baltimore Ravens losing to the Dolphins when the Dolphins were struggling to get back into playoff contention. Every team that beat the Chiefs this year suffered an upset loss of enormous proportions, right? So, but to your point, yeah, it's a horrendous loss. It's a horrific loss. The Bills losing their game to the Jaguars as well, that was a bad loss. There's been a lot of bad upset losses this year. I don't know if that's the worst. I think the Bills-Jaguars game is probably the worst loss of the season, but that Chargers, because they were home, right? That was a home game for them, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was it? I don't even remember.
Which one?
Was that home or not?
Cincinnati versus which game? Cincinnati versus?
No, the Chargers game against against the Texans last week. That was – they were home, right?
Yeah, they were home, yeah.
So, I mean, that's just – that's a horrendous loss. And that just – as far as we want to put them up and we want to elevate Herbert and say that the Chargers are ready to kind of take that next step, that's like one step forward, two steps back. That was what that loss was to me, and I totally agree with you, TP. That was a horrendous loss for them, especially since – you know, they played well against, they played well against the Chiefs before. It's a horrendous loss. It's horrendous for them. So they must win this next game. They have to show their playoff hopes are in the toilet with the Giants, right? Like, there's no other way around it. They have a tough game against the Broncos. I think
no, it's not tough. They better win that game. Listen, Drew Lock is the starter. Teddy's not starting.
Right, exactly.
That's
so
not a tough game.
Better at home. You're
absolutely
right.
Where they
are.
They could be on Jupiter. They could be on Jupiter. If Drew Lock is the quarterback, there's no shot. They're done.
No chance in hell, like Vince says.
No chance. Nothing. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do.
Let me tell
exactly.
You something. If you lose to a team like with Drew Lock starting at quarterback, then you don't really deserve to make the playoffs, even though they'll still be there.
Yeah.
You don't really deserve.
Exactly.
You don't really deserve it.
Pack up.
Listen. I guess it's not quite as bad as having Trevor Simeon play.
But, oh boy!
I gotta ask this question, then we're gonna get out of here because I had to put it into overtime. I could talk sports with you guys like all day. It's been great. I love you guys. But Jimmy Garoppolo's got the thumb injury, right? If they win against the Texans, who just won that game against the Chargers, right? They clinch a playoff spot. They say Jimmy G should be able to play. There's a good chance that he plays.
Oh.
TP, what do you do? Do you play him? Because
I wouldn't force him to play.
I
wouldn't force him to play. I wouldn't. If he has a torn ligament in his thumb, right?
Yeah, that's what they said.
They got to go with Trey. They got to. They got to.
We were just talking about him.
No, I know, and I feel like we jinxing people. Like, that's the crazy part. It's like as much as I was like, yo, I wanted to see Jimmy hang on to the job, I'm like, yo, everybody's like, yo, he's going to leave week three, week four. Jimmy's been doing a good job. Deebo Samuel is terrorizing the league, and he gets hurt now. It's like, oh, this is unfortunate. And it's like, this is what everybody's been begging for, to see Trey Lance be the quarterback. Now it's like, I wouldn't want to see my $100 million investment that's actually looking good be hurt even worse. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I think the best bet is to go with Trey Lance and try to win this game up against the Texans. This game is fortunate for the Niners. If they win, they're in that. That's huge for the Niners at this point in time. I'd rather see Trey run and then, you know, hope Jimmy could do something to hear better feedback on another response on his injury.
Yeah, I mean, if they needed that game to get in, I would play him, but since there's another week and there's another scenario that they can get in if the Saints lose to the Panthers, which I don't really see happening, but I would hold him back because they even waited for the swelling to go down just to assess if he would be able to throw, and he's been throwing under supervision. So you got to take your chance. You got to be careful with them. We were just here, right? Me and TP were in my basement watching this game. And we're lamenting on how Garoppolo, if he doesn't make mistakes, they should be able to win. They were winning, and then we jinxed them. They pooped the bed against the Titans, and you know, the thumb injury happened. So he's had a couple extra days to heal up, but still, I agree with you. Trey Lance has got to be the guy. Just, he's taken all the reps in practice. Let him play. I don't know if anybody else has an opinion on Garoppolo and you know, Deebo Samuel. Oh God, he is so good. Unbelievable, that guy. So he's just unbelievable. But Garoppolo, Mike, do you think Garoppolo should play? I think he dropped, but serious, do you think Garoppolo should play?
Yeah, nah. I
don't
think he's going to play Trey.
Yeah, give us three. You know, just give us Trey Lance, you know, let it go. But no, it should be fun, man. The Sunday night game, Vikings-Packers, always a good rivalry game. You know, it'll be interesting to see if that Packer defense can hold up. They haven't been playing well as of late, but, you know, like we said, you know, the Jeopardy cast-off is calling the right numbers, answering in the form of a question. So he's doing everything he needs to do to win some games down there. So can't count out against Aaron Rodgers. But I'm ready to close up shop. I went through the whole thing and I didn't have to talk about the Giants. That just makes me happy right there. That just makes me so. I feel relieved. You know, I feel relieved. But Sirius, it's always a pleasure doing the show with you, bro. Give me a quick close as we close up the shop here, the caller's cookout.
Man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703, man. Again, 2021 has taught me to appreciate things more and to show love and appreciation and everything. And with this being the last show of 2021, man, I'm looking forward to bigger and greater things in 2022. My prayer and my wishes to all you gentlemen is, you know, health and prosperity. Unless your name is Barry the Villain Jordan and you are a Knicks fan, and no prosperity to you. Good health and no prosperity. With that being said, man, I'm out, man. I'll catch you guys on the next one. God bless, and I'll see you guys later, man.
That's Uncle Villain. That's what Malik calls me. That's what you call Uncle Villain. That's what you call me. Nah, I love you, T. I love you, sir. Don't worry about it, man. I'm going to pray for you, man. I'm going to pray for you. Michael, thank you for calling in. Always a pleasure talking hoops and talking football with you. Give us a close as we get out of here. Last caller's cookout of 2021.
Man, the one thing that I will remember in 2021, other than some of the tragedies in sports and my Braves winning a world championship this year for the first time in 26 years. But, man, the one thing I'll remember is building that relationship with my brother TP and with you guys and being able to become part of the Sports City Chefs family, man. I really appreciate you guys having me. Look forward to letting some more good times roll as we move into 2022. And I'm still hoping that that Trevor Semi-Pro has gone to the Helen Keller Institute to learn sign language. That's all.
He's got jokes. I love it, Mike. It's a pleasure, man. It's been a great 2021, man. Great building a relationship with you. Glad to have you a part of the Chefs. And you guys do great work with the barbershop. I'm proud of you guys getting to, what, I think 4,000 and beyond, man.
You guys been growing.
Absolutely, man. You guys are doing great things. The Chefs, we had a really good year. It's a pleasure working with my brother TP, man. You know, known this dude for a long time. Feels like forever and a day. But, you know, we got some big things popping. So, you know, stay tuned for that. We build in. I got my mic on the way. My microphone is in the mail. So look out for that. Oh, boy. But get to the website, sportscitychefs.com. We're blogging. I try to blog, you know, when I can. So I might write something tomorrow on my misery as a Giants fan. But, you know, it's not therapeutic anymore. It's kind of just howling at the wind. So maybe I'll write about my Knicks almost blowing the game against the Pistons tonight. But get to the website, read the blogs, articles, all that good stuff. We got the merchandise. Please pick that stuff up. I got to get some more stuff because we gotta show out in public, man. We got to show our colors, our banners. So, you know, a lot of fun with that. But, TP, you know what to do, man. Thank you for calling in. Love doing the show with you, bro. Get us out of here.
Since he said that about his microphone and my Lauryn Hill voice, how many mics do we rip on the daily? People pay attention to what's going on in Phoenix right now. I can't believe my eyes right now. Also, it's a 2-point game between the Suns and the Thunder. If the Thunder win this game, this has to be the upset of the century basketball history. The Thunder have one starter playing, and that's Lou Dort. Everybody on the Thunder that's a starter is out COVID-19 protocol. Shea, Giddy, the coach, It's so much, and they are down by two in Phoenix to the Suns right now with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Stay tuned on that. Sports, if you pay attention to a lot of stuff that's going down, we are running into bowl season college football. There's an interesting game tonight. Oregon's getting beat up pretty bad right now, 16-3. NBA with the ups and downs, like you heard here, Crossover Cafe, pay attention to it. The Brunch will be back around for the new year. Stay focused, man. It's the Click, and we got some good news here for Sports City. We get the public exposure as well. Shout out to my big brother Groove from the barbershop. He had an unfortunate loss in his family. My heart is with you forever. I that's as much as I can say. Sports City, my heart is here with everybody here with the Click and the SEC. You already know how this go down. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Ow.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.